Prodigal son of Nashville Sports Radio has returned. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
.429 is the time as we welcome all of you back. George Plaster, Terry McCormick with you today. Watson Brown, happy birthday to him. He was on with us during the 2 to 4 o'clock hours. And so, with all of this in mind, let's go by phone and say hello to Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. His Commodores won 2 out of 3 over the weekend in Knoxville. And Tim, it sounds like it was an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, it was a great experience. It was very intense. It reminded me of some of the Florida series we had years ago. I say years ago, they weren't that far ago, but, you know, just the 11 years where they were very intense. And Tony's got a good team. He's got a very good team. He does a very good job. And you can see from, a team standpoint, an environment standpoint, how they've taken it forward. And I credit them. And I think in a lot of different ways it brings out the best in both teams, but you saw two very good teams. We had to play extremely well in order to come out of there with a series win because they jumped ahead of us on Saturday and really landed a big blow with a grand slam home run. Evan Wilson may have replaced Fulmer Way with the weekend that he had. They'll probably name a street after him, but he certainly had a great weekend, and they're a very good team.
Tim, how important is it to be able to have this kind of pressure? Because if you're going to places like Omaha, that's what you're going to run into.
And most certainly, George. I mean, I know in the years we've talked about a lot of different things, but I think that's the one thing about the conference. It hardens you, but you need to be in those environments where you test your fibers of a team. And, you know, without Saturday, we may have not had Sunday. You know, had we won Saturday, you get to Sunday in it with a different personality. And I think what losing Saturday meant was, okay, you're going into Sunday situation on the road again, because we played very well on the road. We're 8-1 on the road in the SEC. But it was just a situation where you're going to see whether your team could respond in the way that they needed to in order to have any type of success. Not guaranteeing a series win, but just any type of success. And they responded in the way that you wanted them to. And I was proud of them, because it was a tough environment to play in, and it was a tough team to play, period. So I just love the response of our kids, and that is a good fiber to learn going forward if you have any hopes of playing into a postseason.
This may be a really dumb question, but is there also recruiting at stake for the certain kids that both of you are going after?
Yeah, maybe to some degree, for sure. But I do think, you know, if a kid wants to go to Tennessee, he's going to go to Tennessee. You know, if that's a lifelong school and he's grown up in the state and he's always had an affinity towards the university, and it's certainly you understand that. And then there's certain kids who, you know, want to go to Vanderbilt, you know, if they've had an affinity towards Vanderbilt. And I think in some ways kids know that, but some kids that we recruit, Tony may not be recruiting in state and vice versa. So, but I think what it does is it piques the interest of a kid, I would say, in state, because you certainly saw a very good series with the two schools. So I think what, at the very least, I think what it does is it elevates, the level of young kids, 12, 13, 14 years old, that may someday have aspirations of playing college baseball. I think series like this certainly motivate those kids to want to play at one of these schools at some point in their life.
Tim, I'll tell you something that impressed me. I was a little more than 3 hours away from Nashville up in Illinois Friday night, and the game is on ESPNU. And, you know, initially I'm assuming I'll be the only one in this restaurant that wants to watch it. There were a bunch of people watching it.
That's good to hear. That is good to hear, because I think I've received a lot of messages from a lot of people during the course of the weekend. I haven't been able to respond to all of them yet, but you could tell that at least at this point of the season, which is the halfway mark, there was a lot of notoriety towards both the games. And you could see that, because both teams were coming in, obviously ranked high, but had both good resumes up to this point.
I want to have some fun with the comment about COVID not existing in Knoxville, because the one thing I've learned, Tim, no matter how much I love the Preds and no matter how much I love going into Bridgestone every night, tonight being one of the biggies, that it's not the same without those 17,000 plus in there. It's just not.
No, the fans create the environment. There's no doubt about that. And you could feel that in Knoxville this weekend. And when I spoke after the game was over, that was my thought, because it was very emotional. It was a very emotional series, and that emotion comes from playing the game itself, but it also is the angst or strain that you feel from the ancillary pieces of the environment, whether it's the music and whether it's the people themselves. And you have to give the University of Tennessee a lot of credit, because that always hasn't been the case. And there were certain times probably when people would come to Vanderbilt where they would feel that way too. But that was electric at certain points in time. And there were a lot of people there. And that's real. That's not fake. That's real. There were a lot of people there. And, you know, my comment on COVID, I'm very respectful, obviously, of that situation. That was tongue-in-cheek, but it's the truth. It was like people were living life as they should. You know, they were there, they were vibrant, they were passionate, and they had a big impact on the game itself. And I felt that, and the kids felt it, and that's why it put a lot of stress on the situation. So yeah, environments make a big difference. There's no doubt about it, and you'd like to see that for our kids too. And you know, I've had conversations with Candace about it, and Candace would, you know, if it was her decision, she'd open the gates, period. But she can't, and you know, that's frustrating in a lot of ways, because you know, Rocker's time here is limited, Leiter's time here is limited, these kids, my time is limited, you know, in terms of, you know, I think I'll be coaching forever, but you just don't know. And you want environment for your kids, and you want people to come watch too, because there's a lot of people that I get a lot of messages from other people too that are just dying to get here that haven't been able to come here yet. So, you know, listen, I know it's bigger than baseball. I get that. And I'm not tone deaf. I mean, God knows I was, you know, in the middle of, you know, trying to help a lot of ways during the time last year with the medical staff people. But at the same time, you know, you'd love to have an environment if you could get it.
Yeah. Terry, have you ever interviewed Tim Corbin before?
I have, in press conference settings.
Did you ask good questions?
Well, that'd be up to Coach Corbin to decide.
Well, you're going to get your chance now. Say hello to Tim.
How you doing, Coach? Good to talk to you. In fact, if you hear background noise, I'm actually at a high school game right now. My son's team is playing against White House Heritage, so there you go.
Tim, the son's a Yankee fan. He's been brainwashed.
Yeah, that's okay. I've liked the Yankee, maybe one or two of them.
I like it.
But one of the things, the first thing I wanted to ask you actually has something to do with, you know, smaller school baseball. You know, you've signed a couple of kids from East Robertson. You had Mike Miner, who came from Forest at Chapel Hill, really smaller schools. And how much do you go into evaluating those guys and, you know, and what they're able to do on the high school level before you, you know, decide that a guy can fit like that? And as a second part of that, how much is that an indicator that all up and down that Tennessee high school baseball has improved a whole lot over the last several years?
Well, I'll start with the second part first, Terry, because I think that's the part that I would speak to the most. Is the state of Tennessee has always had very good baseball players, but I would say, and not because of Vanderbilt, but I would say the level of competitiveness and the level of kid that plays is very good. I mean, when I first got here, over the first, I think it was 5-8 years, there were a lot of Tennessee kids playing at Ole Miss, LSU, Mississippi State, Tennessee, of course, and then in Vanderbilt and other schools. And you just felt like for a small state, they were producing a lot of players. And then if you look at the amount of pro success that has come out of our program, and then you point back to the kids that have played in-state, whether it's Mikey Miner, as you mentioned, Sonny Gray, David Price, got a lot of state kids that have really flourished here and done quite well, and now still pitching and playing in the big leagues. So I would say the state of Tennessee has grown in the time that, you know, I've been at Vanderbilt. Now, in terms of the kid themselves, we don't really look at the size of the school they're playing as much as we look at what the kid's capable of doing from a physical standpoint. But I think the area that we lean on the most right now is once we see some physical tools, I think then the questions remain. The mental tools have to stand out in order for someone to have any type of consistency academically and athletically here. You have to be mentally organized. So that's a piece of the puzzle that has to be prevalent when we're recruiting the young men, no matter where, but certainly if we're looking at a kid in state.
And George alluded to it when he was talking about Vanderbilt and Tennessee. How much, with this rivalry being back and both teams being really good and creating excitement like it did over the weekend, how good can that be? How good can that be for baseball on the collegiate level in Tennessee as far as drumming up excitement, and also how can it be, a benefit to Vanderbilt because obviously, even though Tennessee being competitive means another in-state school to have to vie with for prospects, it also can help in the fact that, you know, both schools are competitive, both schools are going to be good, so both schools are going to get more attention.
Yeah, they will, and I really think the competition raises competition. It's like intra-team competition. Your team gets better when there's a lot of people vying for similar roles, and people have to elevate themselves, and I don't think anything's different that way when you're looking at Vanderbilt and Tennessee, and then the other schools that are here as well inside the state that are very good at baseball as well. Their level of competition raises too, because they end up playing one another. They end up playing Tennessee. They end up playing Vanderbilt. So I do think it's a good thing. It's no different than Starbucks moving into a street where there's two other coffee shops. Everyone's got to raise their game because they know that there's a good product across the street and someone can certainly go there as well. And if they do, then that's hurting your business. So I don't think we're any different that way, but I do think it helps the state, and I do think it helps at the feeder systems, the smaller age groups where kids aspire to play on that field one day. And when you turn on the TV, or whether it's the network, or whether it's ESPNU like it was this past weekend, or you go to Knoxville or you go to Nashville to watch a game, then you're inspired by what you see and you want to become that. So I think we're role models for many.
Last one from me, and I'll ask this: What's the main attribute or two that you look for when you're scouting a hitter, and then when you're scouting a pitcher?
Competitiveness. It's a conversation that gets stimulated all the time inside of our office, because I just think that in a lot of ways, amateur baseball has indirectly removed that element from baseball itself, because it's become a showcase game. And when it's become a showcase game, you basically are auditioning your tool set rather than playing with a group of people to play for something. And that's basically to play for a positive outcome on the scoreboard. But when that's removed from you, you find that kids lose their ability to actually compete for something and understand what that looks like in a team environment. And I've seen that over the last 10 years, really seen it over the last 15, but certainly seen it over the last 10, and it makes it difficult. It makes it difficult to recruit someone that you feel like, okay, this is a talented young man, but does he know how to compete? I mean, you get into that game yesterday, and if you're not in competition mode and you don't understand what that looks like, it'd be very difficult to even get inside the white lines of that particular game. And a lot of times, Harry, and George would know this too, is you start looking at players that have identified team traits in other sports. And it was easy for me to look at Sonny Gray and say, this guy's going to have some success on a Friday night. And the reality was, because he always competed on Friday night. He threw a football on Friday night. He was in state championships on Friday night. And to understand, to come into our environment and get used to 4,000, 5,000 people somewhere else and be able to settle your nerves, compete, and pitch, he was able to do that. But if you've never gone through that before, that's a skill set unto itself. And if you don't learn that skill set, then it's very difficult to learn at the highest level of college baseball. And I think that's where we are right now.
If you don't take anything else out of our show, take the last 90 seconds of that answer, because he hit it dead on perfect. Tim, that was a great answer, and thank you for taking the time to come on here.
Likewise, George. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Nice talking to you, Terry.
Okay, let's do it. Tim Corbin, Vanderbilt baseball coach, joining us here on the show.